This message is presented to you by Pastor David Lambert and Exceed Life Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. For more information, visit exceedlifechurch.org.
Amen. We've been in a series on grace. Amen. Somebody say, by grace, through faith. Amen. And I'm telling you, we cannot do anything, really, that's worth anything without the grace of God being on our lives. You believe that today? And I don't know about you, but I need greater grace. That's the title of our sermon series, greater grace, meaning that we can walk in levels of grace. We can walk in a higher degree of God's grace in our lives. So if we can walk in a higher degree, we can also walk in a lower degree. Amen? And I don't know about you, but I want to walk in the very pinnacle, the very highest degree of God's grace. Amen? And I love that. And His grace helps us to fulfill the will and the calling of God on each one of our lives. You know you all have a calling. Do you know that God has a plan for your lives? And God's grace will help you walk out the calling of God in your life. You believe that today? Amen. So you got to work with God. Amen. For His grace to work, don't work against God. Work with God. Amen. And God's grace can move us. I believe this. Maybe some of you feel stuck. Maybe you feel like you're just in a holding pattern in your prayer life. You're not really seeing things move like you want them to move. I'm going to say this, that if you get a hold of these messages and you start walking in the grace of God, God's grace will help you move forward, will help you obtain the promises that God has in His Word for each one of us. Amen? And so I love that. So we're focusing on Acts in Acts 4:32 and 33. And this is the early church. And, you know, the early church walked in the power of God. They walked in signs, wonders, and miracles. And I believe it's time for signs, wonders, and miracles to come back to the church. Do you believe that? Somebody say, it's time. I want to see God's miracle working power working every day in our lives. Amen. Do you believe that today? The Bible says in the last days, He's going to pour out His Spirit on all flesh. And our sons and daughters will prophesy. Young men will see visions. Old men will dream dreams. Of course, we don't have any old men in here. We have all young men seeing visions. Amen. Can I get an amen on some of the seniors out here? Amen. Larry's saying, amen. I'm a young man. Glory to God. Amen. Your youth is renewed like the eagles. You're not getting older. You're getting better. Amen. And so we're getting better in our age. Amen. And we always stay forever young on the inside. Do you believe that? I believe that. I don't feel my age. And I hope you don't feel your age as well. And in Acts 4:32, this is powerful. And, you know, the early church prayed for the power of God to be resident, for God's signs and wonders and miracles to be resident in the church. And so Peter prayed that God's signs and wonders and miracles. And in Acts 4:32 and 33, it says, now the multitude of those who believed, somebody say, I believe. See, that's the key right there. If you're going to see the grace of God in your life, you got to be what I call a believing believer. How many believing believers we have out here? In other words, you believe, and you believe that God still can do miracles today, that God still can work His mighty power today. It said the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. So they were in unity with one another. They were loving one another. Amen. They had all things in common. They had one heart. Amen. But it says here, and with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. So we see here great grace and great power was produced in the early church. And notice it says that they gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you start giving some witness to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going somewhere this morning, you're going to see some grace of God in your life. Anybody out here like to witness to unbelievers? Anybody like to talk about Jesus and Him being resurrected? Glory to God. It's the only founder of the Christian religion that was raised from the dead. Glory to God. Muhammad wasn't raised. Buddha wasn't raised. But Jesus was raised from the dead. Over 500 people saw Him raised from the dead. It's recorded. Glory to God. Amen. And all His disciples, except for John, died for that truth. They all died martyr, gruesome deaths because they saw the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to God. And I'm going to say this to you today. We need to be talking about the resurrection power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that resurrection power is resident in you.
Amen.
Glory to God. Not just the coffee. You don't need just the coffee to get you up, even though I got some coffee this morning. You need the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to say this, that this is the only religion that has God in us, the hope of glory. That's powerful. Somebody say, God in me, the hope of glory. That's powerful. That's God's grace. And so we see here that the apostles gave great grace was upon the apostles, great power and great grace because they witnessed the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So we're getting in this unity. So we have to stay in unity. Somebody say, stay in unity. And so what the enemy's doing is he's trying to divide. He's trying to cause disunity or disharmony in families, in churches. The Bible says a kingdom divided. Jesus said a kingdom divided cannot stand.
Amen.
So we got to stay together. Amen. We got to stay unified. We have to stay with each other. Glory to God. And I love what it says in Ephesians 4, 1 and 3. It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, this is the Apostle Paul speaking here, I beseech you to walk worthy of the calling which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering. Think about that. He's saying that to walk worthy of the call, because I just said earlier that we all have a call of God on our lives.
Amen.
You have a call of God on your life. And he says to walk worthy of that calling, we don't get in pride about our calling. Amen. We walk in lowliness and gentleness and long suffering or patience. And it says bearing with one another, amen, in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I love that. So what are we endeavoring to do? We're endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Amen. And so we need to be striving for the fact to walk in the love of God, not allow anybody to get under our skin. Amen. Pray for those that aren't walking the right walk. Help them, move them into the next level. That's what God's grace does in our lives, empowers us to empower people. Amen.
Amen.
I love that. So God's plan for our life is to walk out the grace of God in our life. Amen. We found out that Jonah last week had a hard time walking in God's plan. He had a hard time walking in God's plan, and he was running from God and running from the plan of God. And because he didn't agree totally with God's plan. You don't always have to agree totally with God's plan to do His plan. I'm going to say that again. You can reluctantly do His plan, but I'm going to say this. It's better to agree to do His plan. It's better to get in agreement with God's plan, but you can do His plan and grit your teeth in doing it, but it's better to get willing and obedient. It's better. And the only way we're going to get willing and obedient, remember, Jesus, you know, Jesus had a will of his own. Did you know that? Jesus had his own will. And Jesus said, my will is do the will of the Father. So it's not about our will. It's about, are we doing God's will? I'm talking to somebody this morning. Are we following God's plan for our life? Are we walking out the purposes and the plans of God for us? Amen. And a lot of times, sometimes when we're doing God's will, it may look like we're taking a back seat. It may look like that we're losing. But I'm going to say this, you always win when you do God's will. And Jonah, his life got turned around when he was in the belly of that fish and he repented and God refreshed his calling. And you know, Jonah was a successful prophet because a prophet's job was to really to get the people to repent. And Jonah, really, even though he didn't want them to repent, he did his job right because Nineveh repented. And when they repented, they received the grace of God on their life. In other words, repenting is turning to God. Whenever you turn to God, God's grace is always there to meet you. Can I get a witness in the house today? See, sometimes we go off on our own merry way, doing our own thing. But I'm telling you, the grace of God is always there when you're doing God's thing. Amen. So that we have to continue to walk in and follow the plan of God in our life. I like this in Psalms 127 because this is how you're going to get in agreement with God's plan. It's called prayer. Because Jesus, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was under great pressure and he was praying, Lord, if this cup could pass me up. But then as he prayed, he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. So we know Jesus wasn't excited about going to the cross, but Jesus looked past the cross and saw the joy. He saw each one of us. So Jesus had to get his will in line with God's will through prayer. Amen. Have you ever heard of the saying, you got to pray it through? See, some of us need to pray things through before we make big decisions in our lives, before we make big moves in our lives, because we're analyzing things and we're trying to figure out things. But make sure if you're making a big move, make sure God is in it. Because if God's not in that move, that grace of God may not be there for you. Can I get a witness in the house today? And I don't know about you, but I got to walk in the God's grace. It's his grace that empowers us. And in Psalms 127:1, it says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Unless God is the one that's directing us and guiding us and bringing us to that place he wants us to go to, unless he's doing it, we can do some things in vain. Make sure God is in it. Amen? And so I love that. Now, God's grace and his power helps us to accomplish everything that God wants us to accomplish. Amen? So another component of God's grace is anointing on us. His grace, we found out through the series, is his power and his anointing. So when we walk in God's grace, we're walking in his power or we're walking in his anointing. His anointing is like the oil that comes upon when they anointed people in the Old Testament. They anoint people in the New Testament. And it's like the Holy Spirit coming upon us. I don't know about you, but I need the anointing of God on my life. I need his anointing and his power on my life. And his grace, we found out, is also his favor on our lives. And, you know, the Bible says what's more valuable, you know, favor is more valuable than rubies, diamonds, gold, money. Favor is more valuable than that. Because favor can open the doors of grace for God to move miracles in your life. So favor is God's power. It's his anointing. Favor is, or grace is God's favor, and grace is His, ready for this? It's His presence. His presence on our lives. So the subtitle of this message is The Favor of His Presence. And I don't know about you, but I got to have God, you know, His presence on my life. We're going to look at an account of Moses, and this is a powerful account. And Moses had an amazing relationship with God. The Bible says that Moses spoke to God face to face. Amen? So Moses had this great connection with God, and he walked in the grace of God, and he developed that grace by spending time with God. Amen? Moses, now let me take you to the scene. Moses was up in the mountain, and we know the story, and God was giving him the Ten Commandments. And Moses was away from the children of Israel for approximately at least 40 days. And what happened when Moses, the leader, wasn't there with the people went astray. Amen. That's why as a pastor, I don't like to leave you guys too long. Why? I don't want you worshiping some golden calf. I don't want you going to some golden calf and start worshiping some golden calf while I'm gone. Amen? No, I don't want you that. But see, Moses was gone, and because the leader wasn't there, they said, oh, the leader's not here. They got nervous, and they said, we need to get Aaron to make this golden calf, and we need it. You see, you're going to worship something in this life. When you don't have God in your life, you're going to find something to worship. And they made this calf, and they said it's the golden calf that brought us out of Egypt. How crazy is that? And so they started worshiping the golden calf. And then Moses came down from the mountain, and he broke the tablets. And judgment came down on the Israelites. And Moses now is back up on the mountain. Amen? And God is angry with the people. And I'm going to say this, the Holy Spirit can be grieved. Another word for grieved is the Holy Spirit can be angered. God can get angry over some of the decisions that we make at times. The Holy Spirit can get upset with us at times. And I don't know about you, but I want to walk in a way where I'm pleasing to the Lord and where I'm not displeasing to the Lord. And I love this in Exodus 33:1-3. Now we're here at the scene, and then the Lord said to Moses, depart and go from here, and you and the people whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt to the land which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, to your descendants I will give it, and I will send my angel before you. And I will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, the Hittite, and the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite. There's a lot of Ikes out there, amen. Be careful with the Ikes that will try to come against us in our life. Yikes. Amen. And go to a land flowing with milk and honey. That's the grace of God. God wants us moving into a place of a land flowing with milk and honey. That is the grace zone. That's where God wants us headed. We may not be there right now, but I'm going to make a declaration this morning. You're moving towards that place of grace and where God is giving you milk and honey, glory to God. And then he says this, then the Lord says this to Moses, for I will not go up in your midst, lest I consume you on the way, for you are a stiff-necked people. And so we see here that God was talking, that God was upset enough, but he did say, I would send an angel. Amen. And so it says here that the people were stiff-necked, and another word for stiff-necked is stubborn and rebellious. So I'm going to say this today. The grace of God doesn't work well when we're stubborn and when we're rebellious. We found that out about Jonah. We found out that the storm came because the storm will come two ways. The storms in our life will come because we're disobedient to God. A storm can come because of that. Amen. And a storm can come because the devil's trying to hinder us from getting to the other side. Amen. So two storms comes into our life. The first storm, the way we get rid of that storm is to repent. The second storm, the way we get rid of that storm is to speak to it. Amen. So you one storm, we repent, and God causes His grace to come into our life. The next storm, we speak to it, and it's stilled like Jesus spoke to the storm. Amen. And so I love that. So God is bringing us into a place of milk and honey, glory to God. And so we don't want to be stubborn and rebellious. We want to be submissive and obedient. Somebody say submissive and obedient. And so, see, God was going to send that angel. Now, let's look at what Moses is saying here in verse 12 of Exodus. Then Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, bring this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found, I have also found grace in your sight." So we see here that Moses, he's a little nervous because an angel's good to come with him, but there's nothing like God. I'm going to say this. When God saved us, God could have filled each one of us with an angel. But He didn't choose to do that. He chose to fill us with the Holy Spirit. In other words, God loved us so much, He had to be in us and with us. He could have had an angel. He could have each one of us. We all have guardian angels to protect us. I believe. How many people believe you got a guardian angel? Amen. But see, God has the power to do whatever He wants. Amen. But you know what? God said, I'm going to be in them. I'm going to be their God. They're going to be my people. And they're going to walk with me. And I'm going to walk in them. Glory to God. And so Moses was bringing his case to the Lord. He was saying to the Lord, listen, if I found grace in your sight. See, sometimes when you're praying, you got to bring your case to the Lord. When you're praying, you got to bring the promises of God. God, your word says this. Your word says that you will prosper me, even though it looks like that I'm suffering some shortfalls in my life. Your word says that you will heal me. You have to bring God's word to Him. Now, He knows His word, but you need to bring it back to Him so that He can, so you and God can come in agreement. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? Don't just cry and say, God, get me out of this mess. It's more than God getting you out of the mess. Bring God's word to Him. So we see that Moses was saying, God, did you not say that your grace is on my life? Did you not tell me that you are with me? And then in 13 it says, now therefore I pray, if I found grace in your sight, verse 13, show me now your way, that I may know you and that I may find grace in your sight and consider this nation your people. So Moses was saying, I have already found grace, but can I get a little bit more grace? Amen. This is what he was saying. I have found some grace in your life. God, you told me that I have grace, but can I have a little bit more grace? You know, it's okay to ask God for a little bit more grace in your life. Ask God to give you more grace, maybe for your children, maybe for your spouse, maybe for your boss, maybe for circumstances and situations that's not working too well in your life. Ask God to give you more grace. And more grace will enable God to help you in every circumstance and every situation in your life. So Moses' relationship, he had a grace and favor relationship with Him. And we see this at the most precious. He says this in verse 14. And he said, my presence will go with you and I will give you my rest. This is what God said to Moses after Moses spoke to God about favor and asking for more favor. God said, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. One of the most important things that we can receive in the grace of God is God's presence. And in God's presence, there's rest. I'm going to say again, in God's presence, you come to church because not only do you want to hear a message that comes from the Word of God, but you want to feel God. Amen. You want to sense His presence. When the worship was going on this morning and the ladies were worshiping and the band was worshiping, I'm telling you, I felt the presence of God. and I got to have his presence. That's why it's good watching online, and you get a degree of grace and blessing online, but there's something different when you're in the service, and the anointing and the grace of God is working in the service. Amen? And he said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. The most precious component, again, of God's grace is his presence, which gives us rest. This is very important. And in Exodus 15, 17, it says this, then he said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the peoples who are upon the face of the earth. So the Lord said to Moses, I will also do the thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. I'm going to say this to you today. If you're saved and you have Jesus in your life, God knows you by your name. Amen. See, one of the greatest, the worst tragedies for a human being is for God to say, I don't know you. Amen. That is the worst thing. When people come to the throne room of God, and some will be believing that they're going to make it to heaven because they thought religion would get them there, and God will say to them, depart from me, I never knew you. But Jesus, receiving Jesus in your life, put your name in the Lamb's book of life, and I'm going to say this, that God's name is engraved, or I'm sorry, your name is engraved in the hand, in the palm of God's hand. Do you believe that today? Somebody say, God knows my name. That's powerful. That's powerful. It's good that God knows your name, amen? And if you keep walking with God and walking in the grace and power of God, the devil will know your name too. I'm going to say again, the devil will know your name. He will know who you are. Is that right? Amen. Remember the seven sons of Sceva? These were people in the book of Acts that heard about Jesus, that heard about Paul casting out demons, and then they tried to cast out a demon. They said, and the demon said, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but we don't know you. And they tore, and the demon tore the seven sons of Sceva's clothes off, and they ran. They got beat up. I'm saying, you're going to get beat up if you don't know the Lord. You're going to get beat up by the devil if you don't have a relationship with God. If you're not developing that relationship with God, the devil's going to beat you up. Amen. And so you got to develop that. Say, develop. I got to develop that relationship with God, amen? And so I love that. And so he says here in Psalm 16, I love this about his presence. He says, I have set the Lord always before me. You need to always set the Lord before you. And then he says here, the psalmist says, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. Notice that. Notice that he says that to walk in God's presence, you have to put God always before you. What am I saying this morning? I'm saying when you wake up in the morning, are you thinking about is a cup of Joe, or are you thinking about Jesus Christ? Amen. You know, I got to get my coffee. No, listen, that's good. You know, everybody needs their coffee in the morning, or lots of people need their coffee. But don't be elevating a cup of Joe, which is a cup of coffee. No, elevate Jesus Christ. The first thing when you wake up, always before, put Jesus. In other words, say, hello, Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. In other words, acknowledge Jesus in your life. And he says here, the psalmist says, I have set the Lord always before me. Is Jesus in your thoughts when you wake up? Is Jesus in your thoughts when you go to bed at night? Is Jesus in your thoughts? Is he the forefront of your thoughts? And it says, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. And I love this part. My flesh also will rest in hope. How do you keep the peace of God in your life? You keep your mind stayed on Christ. The Bible says to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And I'm looking at some spiritually minded people out here in the congregation. You guys aren't carnal. You are spiritual. Glory to God. I love that. It's what you consume that makes you either spiritual or carnal. What are you looking at? Are you taking the Word of God and you're allowing the Word of God to transform your mind? And are you becoming more spiritual or are you becoming more carnal? And I don't know about you. If you keep God and set Him before you always, you'll be more spiritual, which means you'll win in this life. Amen. Then I love what it says in Psalm 16:11. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy, and in your right hand are pleasures forevermore. I love that. So what am I saying this morning? I'm saying a component of God's grace is His presence. And are you seeking God? Are you trying to get into His presence? That's why we have worship service on Sunday nights. Why? Because we want to endeavor to get in God's presence. And when you get in God's presence, all the problems that we deal with seem to fall away. In other words, we're not going to be focused on the problems. When we get into His presence, God's promises will be revealed to us. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? So God's grace of God is His favor in our lives. God's grace of God is His empowerment in our lives. God's grace is His presence in our life. And I need a greater measure of God's presence. And we know that Moses walked in he was used of God mightily. And the reason why he moved in God and was used of God mightily because he loved God's presence. Amen? He loved to be in God's presence. He wanted to see God's glory. Moses said, Lord God, show me your glory. Are you running hard after God's glory? Are you looking for His glory wherever you're at? I like what it says in Psalms 27. It says, one thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion, in the secret place of His tabernacle. Somebody say secret place. I'm telling you, you can get into a secret place in God. And when you're in the secret place of God, He hides you in His tabernacle. That's a place of safety. And it says, He shall hide me, and He shall set me high upon a rock, and now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in His tabernacle, and I will sing yes, and I will sing praise to the Lord. Amen. So I love that. So we see here that God's presence brings His peace and brings His joy in our lives. Amen? I love that. And so we need to, I don't know about you, but I need more of God's peace. I need more of God's joy. Number two, God's grace and His presence in us protects us. Amen. I'm going to say it again. God's grace and His presence in us and around us protects us. You have divine protection from God. See, the enemy will try to make you think that he's going to take you out early, or the devil's going to try to intimidate you. The devil's going to try to tell you he's going to, you know, take your life. But I'm going to say this, he can't take your life because your life is in God. And you're going to live out your full length of life. Amen? I love what it says in Psalms 5, 11, 12. But let all those who rejoice put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. Let those also who love your name be joyful in you. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous with favor, and you will surround him as with a shield. So I love that. So another part of God's grace is His favor. And what His favor does, His favor surrounds you 360. So His favor surrounds you and protects you. You know, I think about this. I think about in Egypt, remember the 10 plagues? that came on the Egyptians, the frogs, the flies, the gnats, all the hail that came down. Remember all those plagues? Do you know that none of those plagues touched the Israelites in Goshen? Did you know that they were protected? Do you know it only happened in Egypt? So what am I saying to you today? When you're walking with God and you have the grace of God's favor surrounding you, the world can be falling, but you're going to be rising.
Amen.
I'm going to say that again. When you're walking in God's grace and His favor is like a shield that protects you. And where the world will fall, you will rise.
Amen.
Are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? And I'm telling you, you will rise above all the pain, all the destruction that the devil's trying to do in this world system. Number three, God's grace strengthens us and helps us to walk in His inheritance God has for us. So God's grace, His favor strengthens us. How many people could use a little bit more strength? His favor, His grace will strengthen us. I love what it says in Acts 20:32. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you inheritance among those who are sanctified. So we see here, and we know this, that the word of God is the word of faith, which in another passage says the word of faith which we preach. Paul said that. But Paul also likens the word of God to the word of grace. Have you ever thought about that? The word of God is not just the word of faith, but it's the word of grace. So that's powerful because God's word produces grace in our lives. See, you would never have the grace to get saved without hearing about Jesus Christ. And so what comes first, the chicken or the egg? Well, we know God made the animals first. So that, you know, some say the egg came first. But really, it's the chicken that came first. God made the animals. Amen. And then they had offspring. They had, you know. So God made the animals first. What comes first, grace or faith? Grace comes first. It's always God's grace first and then faith. Does that make sense? It's always God's empowerment. It's His endowment. So grace, it's by grace, through faith, we're saved, not of works, lest any man should boast. So I love what it says in Ephesians. So God's grace will strengthen us and help us walk out our inheritance. And I'm going to say this to you today. You might be going through a tough time in this life. You might be going through some troubles and some times of turmoil. But I'm going to say that in the future, there's better days. And I'm going to say this, that God's moving us into a land of milk and honey. But I'm going to say this, that we're not only moving into a good place in this life, in the here and now, but we're moving in a better place in the hereafter.
Amen.
And we got to keep focus on that. That, listen, yes, in this life we will have trouble, but be of good cheer.
Amen.
Jesus has overcome this world, and we can overcome this world.
Amen.
I'm looking at overcomers today.
Amen.
I'm not looking at victims, I'm looking at victors. But I love this when it says in Ephesians, talking about our inheritance, it says, but God, in Ephesians 2, 4, and 8, but God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love, which He has loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not yourself. It is a gift of God. So we see here that there's two components of God's grace and His favor. God's grace makes us alive in Christ. In other words, you are awakened from the dead. Before you got Christ in your life, you were dead people. Spiritually dead people. But when you got Christ in your life, you are spiritual alive people. Number two, God's grace reveals the glorious future that God has for us. So the greatest grace that we can walk in is the grace of expectation, expecting good things to come. Amen. So we have to do everything we can to move in God's grace by moving in His presence. Amen? And so I'm going to say this. It's sin that keeps us from walking in the grace of God. Amen? It's sin that keeps the unbeliever from having a relationship with God. Amen? And so it says here in Romans 6:14, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace." God removes the law of sin and death out of our lives and gives us the presence of God to walk in His grace. So I want to say this. You don't have a sin problem. The world doesn't have a sin problem. What they have is a son problem. They don't have the son in their lives. And when you get more of the son in your life, you have less of the sin in your life. Amen. I'm going to say it again. When you get more of the son of God in your life, you will have less of sin in your life. Amen. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? And so what we have to do is we have to do everything we can to get in the presence of God. God's grace protects us. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. I love that. God's grace strengthens us. Fear not, I am with you. Be not dismayed, I am your God. I will strengthen you with my righteous right hand. So we see here these components of grace that will help us move forward in our walk with God. God's grace is His presence, is His protection. It's His ability to reveal the future to us. And when we walk in God's grace by going after God with all of our heart to get His presence on our life, then I'm going to say this. When we're walking in God's presence, we're going to walk in victory in every area of our lives. Did you receive it this morning? I'm going to be seeing all you guys out here tonight at 7, worship service tonight. Glory to God. Amen. And I'm telling you, seek to get in God's presence. How do you do that? Through prayer, through praise, through the Word of God. And I'm going to say this as we close. Maybe you're listening to my voice, watching me, and you haven't got Jesus in your life. Well, today is a day of salvation. Jesus is our connector with the Father. Jesus is our way to have the presence of the Father in our life. So bow your heads this morning. And as you're listening and watching, if you're ready to receive Jesus and receive God's presence in your life, just pray this simple prayer. Say, "Dear God, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe Jesus was raised from the dead for my justification. Today, I receive you, Jesus, as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. And Heavenly Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen."
We thank you for listening to this message. For more information, visit us at exceedlifechurch.org.